Okay, this is Michael Sky. This is a Wednesday, September, actually October 1st, 2005. And I'm just called up my good buddy, Jim Ronan Davis, who, Jim, you and I have shared, you know, a couple years now of just really going deep on vision for the future and technology, you know, vision technology and, you know, really just building out this paradigm for a world where everyone is a visionary. You know, we've had some really profound conversations, and that would be really, really valuable for people who are up to being a visionary in life and up to walking further down that path and, you know, really, really taking full responsibility for the future of the world, to have access to conversations that are very future-oriented, very progressive, and because I think it does a lot. I think it adds a lot to someone's vision to be able to see, you know, other trends, other things that are happening, other technologies that are coming about, and it can really add a depth and a richness to your vision. You know, as imagine, for example, that you're out on a battlefield and, or you're out in the jungle and, you're on a mission and it's just you, you know, or it's you and a small group of people. And, the mission is like really, really challenging. Like it can be really difficult to achieve just with you or just with your small group. But then imagine knowing that, there's these other forces coming from all other parts of the world, even maybe coming from other, you know, other planets or, you know, other, just all kinds of forces are going to be joining you up here over the next several months and several years. And, you know, and then your vision for the future and accomplishing your mission is totally different, you know, because what you see is, you know, what you see in your mind, what you expect is, much different and much more powerful, can lend extra energy and passion to your vision and to what you're doing right now, today towards your mission. So, so that's the kind of conversation we're going to have today. A vision, you know, a conversation that's just going to expand people's paradigms and add a richness and depth to anyone's vision. So, if you're listening to this, welcome. And Jim, I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here.
And just a short introduction to Jim. Jim, I think it's safe to say that you're someone who's been passionate about idea systems and cutting-edge technologies and paradigms and religions and philosophies and, you know, what have you for a couple decades now, right?
That'd be fair to say, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I've just been thrilled to have conversations with you, and it's always, you know, you always take it in a new direction. And so let's just have a regular conversation here. And what I'd like to do is talk about game theory, especially gaming as, you know, as an industry now, like video games, and talk about avatars and how all of that relates to visionary technology for the future and to creating the kind of world that we want to live in, et cetera, et cetera. So why don't we start off by, Jim, I'll just have you introduce those basic ideas. What, first of all, what is gaming?
Well, gaming as an industry has now surpassed the movie industry in the billions of dollars that are made and spent each year by people participating in the gaming form of entertainment versus the more passive movie-going form of entertainment. And technology has increased to such a level that Dungeons and Dragons and those type of role-playing games that became popular in the 70s, that people would sit around the table and still do, and basically have a conversation. It's the power of narrative. You know, kind of imagine a group of five or six people around a campfire, you know, thousands of years ago, telling stories about the feats of their ancestors or the monsters that they slayed, or, you know, all of the myths and stories that were that have been, you know, translated down through the ages around campfires. Role-playing games take that primordial dynamic and add a component of measuring your expertise, measuring your ability to make decisions, make the right decision, and see those consequences played out for you within the game context. And
So, you know, what I see is that, you know, stories are very integral to how our conscious mind works. You know, we understand our life, ourselves, and the world around us by putting things into the form of a story. And that's where a lot of our human emotions come from, is our explanations for why we are where we are in our life right now and where we're going in the future. You know, our hopes and our dreams and our, you know, our losses, everything is, you know, we understand the world around us by putting it into some kind of story form. So, you know, you said, you talked about, you know, telling those stories or those legends or myths being just a part of our culture and our just history as human beings. And, what people are doing now is actually creating games. It kind of, even if you just think of a board game like Monopoly, you know, you get to take on kind of an alter ego for a short period of time and, you know, make decisions and choices and kind of move through the board game almost like it's, you know, a separate life. You know, like with Monopoly, you're acquiring houses and hotels and businesses and, you know, things that make money and so forth and so on. And, it can be an escape. It can be a sense of enjoyment. And, you know, and then now what we see is with video technology and internet technology, there's people around the world that play these games, over the internet, right?
Absolutely. And there's two dynamics. They're important in current gaming technology, and that is there is like two poles between which your game is positioned either more towards one pole or the other pole. And those poles are a simulation, which as closely as possible presents the dynamics of whatever game you're trying to create. Like, the best example is war games. War games were created by the Germans before World War I, I believe, and simulated the actual dynamics of warfare so that generals and the officer corps could understand battles, and was an industry unto itself in military universities until it was popularized by H.G. Wells and turned into a formula for individuals playing those games, like reenacting the Napoleonic War or something. And so the more that you make it simulate reality, the more intricate it becomes. So, and the other pole is kind of just for fun. The gaming dynamic kind of takes over, and it's you're not really like, say you're doing a Western, you know, like you're a Western shoot 'em up. And it's not really like being in a Western town, but it gives you the feeling of that dynamic. So between those two poles, the most successful games have, you know, obviously the draw of the feel of being there, wherever that is, and maybe a little bit of the simulation. And depending on the type of person that you're marketing it to, you have to have a mix of those two things. So, but you're, when you're talking about the story aspect, the narrative aspect of human consciousness, what I'm seeing in the explosion of video games, and I'm talking specifically about what's called a MMORPG game, which is a multiplayer online role-playing game. And when you're seeing the huge success of games like EverQuest, or the biggest game right now is called World of Warcraft, when you're seeing these games that are amped up on internet technology to where you have 3.5 million people worldwide playing this game on a monthly basis, they have a monthly fee that they pay, pay to play this game. What you have is a virtual world where that is constructed to present challenges to players and to reward them for the choices that they make, and that these games are engineered with a great deal of knowledge about the way our human brains work. And by that I mean, there's a certain evolutionary payoff when you make a decision in your life and you see that, you see you interacting with your environment and you see yourself being successful. You know that there's a risk to a wrong decision and there's a benefit to a positive decision.
So let's take this, Jim, let's take this back down just to a really elementary level here, for someone listening to this, to relate it to, you know, our everyday reality. You know, little children growing up, a lot of the games they play, you know, even animals, in fact, you know, rolling around and fighting and playing games about, you know, hunting or whatever. You know, these are part of the ways that we develop. You know, part of the ways that, you know, play itself, just play, you know, playing games is a way that we can learn, that's risk-free. In other words, you know, playing a game, there's no serious consequences, so it's a great way to learn. And, you know, it's a really powerful learning model, really powerful learning model. And, you know, you even see Robert Kiyosaki, with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and his, you know,
cash flow game.
He's got the cash flow game, which essentially is set up to simulate, your evolution into being, you know, into like thinking like a really wealthy person who is making smart, business decisions and building a financial empire. So, you know, as far as self-development goes, as far as becoming a more powerful business person or entrepreneur or visionary or being able to influence others or, you know, whatever it is you want to do in life, you know, you can go to self-help books or seminars or, you know, any number of different things, but, you know, what if you could actually engage in a risk-free, fun, entertaining simulation of real life and learn without the pain of failure. If you think about like going out in the real world and you know, you make a bad financial decision and well, then your family loses the home and, you know, you're destitute and you got to start all over and there's real serious consequences, and so we learn not to take risks and we fall into certain patterns and certain ways of making choices, which will limit us for the rest of our lives. So, you know, one thing I see about play and also about the technology of gaming is that, it can, you know, we can create environments that, you know, where we can develop ourselves into, being masters of and having power in skill sets and areas that, might previously have been totally shut off to us by, you know, the limitations that we learned growing up. So I just wanted to introduce that, as that's, you know, that's part of why gaming and play is interesting.
Well, it has a tremendous potential for being used to free people, to be used to unleash visionaries. Currently, you know, it's a great form of entertainment, but, you know, there's something very interesting about the explosion of World of Warcraft. You know, they introduced it in communist China, and after only 1 month of it being in China, they got an extra 1.5 million customers, paying customers in China, in 1 month. And you would think, well, why would, you know, because the Chinese control their access of their people to the internet. You could almost consider the internet system in China as an intranet, almost like a company intranet with a firewall. So the fact that they're allowing World of Warcraft to be played in China, you would ask yourself, well, you know, why would that be a good thing? And it's basically a fantasy game. And as much as popular as it is, it allows people to be heroic and to fight battles and to spend all that energy that could otherwise be put into changing their own country, you know, as being a force of change, and really having a pseudo life, a virtual life of being a visionary or a hero, and playing with other Chinese, and really never venturing over to the next town. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the isolation of television, of, you know, keeping us out of the public square, by isolating ourselves in front of a TV set and somehow feeling like, well, I'm all alone and there's nothing that I could do to make a difference.
It could provide enough stimulation and entertainment to keep them just simply doing their jobs and not going out in the world and actually being those heroes who maybe overturn the government of China.
Exactly.
Is that part of what you're saying?
Exactly.
So, well, that's a really interesting point, you know, because here here in the West, you know, we look at a lot of people who are into gaming and you know, there are people that spend hours and hours a day, you know, locked into the internet or to the Xbox, you know, playing video games. And, you know, what it really can be in many senses a word like an escape. Like some people actually relate more to and have more emotional investment tied up into their game life or their game character than they do in their own life. So it's like, you know, they're kind of a zombie in their own life. You know, they go to work, they eat, they do what they need to do to survive, and as soon as they can, it's, you know, they get right back to this game where inside of this other game, they're a hero, and they have allies, and they have, you know, enemies and friends and a challenge and, you know, a great mission to fulfill and, all these sorts of things.
And that's very true, Michael. I mean, and that's what's fascinated me about this gaming dynamic and what I've been, you know, thinking about for the last year and looking at ways of taking the gaming dynamic and beginning to create a personal game that I can play. That integrates the systems in my life, and creates that context, because every game has rules, boundaries, and measurements. And that's, when you think of, you know, like, say a football game in the NFL, the money and energy, the psychic energy and commitment that is involved in, you know, different cities and identifying with your teams and your heroes, And the incredible performance, you know, the human performance, and artistry of catching that that, you know, long bomb pass, or, you know, putting life and limb at risk to play a game, and putting, you know, millions and millions of dollars into supporting, you know, just buying, you know, hats and t-shirts and everything else to identify yourself with the team that is your, that you're most in sync with. I mean, the level that we go to both play and to even, and just to participate third person as a spectator in games. If you look at, you know, the human being, the human animal as a game playing machine, there's just something very primordial about play.
So you're basically asking, so what if we can take, all the energy and excitement and passion and everything that, that playing inside of a game can give us, and what if we could design, you know, our own life as that kind of a game that calls forth the hero? And what if we could, create technologies in our life, or even simulated games that could blend more with our reality? In other words, what if it wasn't so much, an escape, you know, going to, you know, when you're gaming, but what if your life was really set up as a heroic game where you have a great mission, you have a great challenge, you have allies, you have obstacles to overcome. You know, you can measure your skill level, you can measure your power and your ability to do things. And it's just this, you know, continually engaging quest for self-mastery and for achievement of winning the game, you know, of creating a certain kind of future. And I think that integrates really well with what being a visionary is all about. You know, you're engaged in the game of life, and you're up to creating a certain kind of future for the world or for yourself or for your family, your community, or all of the above. And, you know, self-mastery is very important to you. You know, you're very much, as a visionary, you're someone who really looks at yourself to pinpoint the weaknesses and the strengths and see how can I make myself stronger, how can I build my self-mastery. So, you know, part of what we do with the, you know, with the Vision Force Academy is, you know, we've begun to create a structure where people can begin forming those alliances and sharing those visions and mobilizing people into teams and you know, actually, you know, in some sense, without even saying it, you know, beginning to make life into this heroic game that really calls you to your greatness in real life. And, you know, the boot camps are designed that way. Everything that we do is designed that way. So, you know, but looking to the future, you know, the future of self-development technology, the future of just human beings, you know, our education, like think about children growing up. You know, if we are to actualize this vision of children naturally growing up to be and live as heroic beings and visionaries in life, like each and every one of us, then it calls for a totally revolutionized ways of thinking about educating and raising children, and actually, you know, new technologies for doing that. So, gaming, game theory, and gaming technology is huge as far as what the future holds for us filling on a world of visionaries by 2020.
You know, I'd like to add that, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, playing these games and the image of being a wizard or a warrior or a, you know, these are archetypical images. These are very, very powerful, primordial images and archetypes that are really deeply embedded in our consciousness, and they're very powerful to use in creating our daily context. And but my point is that rather than spending all this time becoming and perfecting your virtual character, or what they call an avatar, in a virtual world and making yourself more powerful there in a world that exists only on a corporate computer and server, what if you could create an avatar that made you more powerful in this world? And that's the key difference.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Jim. What if you could create, how can you work with avatar technology itself? Let's actually define our terms here. What is an avatar?
Well, the original meaning of avatar, it was a religious term, and it was an incarnation of a deity, or it was an aspect of the divine incarnated onto this planet. And as technology has progressed, the use of the term, when computers came along and virtual worlds came along, avatar became a term for a character or an icon that represented yourself in a virtual world. So, when you talk about a multiplayer game and selecting your avatar or building your character, that character is a name or a term for the character that you have in that plane. So if you create
if you're playing a video game and there's this little guy running around on the screen and that's your character, that's your avatar, right?
That is your avatar. Correct.
That it's kind of like a game piece. If this is like a physical board that we could lay out on the floor, it's this character that is operating inside of this other reality, this game reality.
Now, but when you take that concept and you put it together with vision technology, and we talk about seeing a vision for your life, seeing a vision in the future, and having that, creating a vision that's so attractive that it draws you to it, that is the world that you're building, the context that you're creating. But that person that creates that world, that's you, that person who will live in that world that you're creating, to me, that is your avatar. That is the idealized version of yourself. That is the person that you are becoming and the person that you are being by taking the bold actions each day in your life. So that's the connection.
So, a lot of us, we walk around in this world, and in the story of our lives, or the story that's going on in our head, the way we see ourselves, we see ourselves as a certain character based largely on our past, the choices that we made that were good, that were bad, that were the ways we failed and succeeded. And we have a certain identity. We know our strengths and our weaknesses on a certain level, and we have a way of simply identifying ourselves and how we're unique, how we're different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes time to make a choice in life, do I climb that mountain or do I not? We project that identity or that character, that's built on past experience into that future. Well, if I climb that mountain, I'd fall down because I'm not athletic, so I better go walk this path. So the way we identify ourselves impacts our vision and the way we guide ourselves hugely. So what we're talking about here and what you're saying with an avatar is, looking down a heroic path in life, 10, 15, 20 years in the future, like the more that you walk down this path, you see your personal evolution, you actually become a new person. You actually become someone different. And so what you're saying is, and what we're talking about is, say in the year 2020, okay, 15 years from now, 15 years. Imagine 15 years of incredible challenge and technology and evolution, and the current limitations you have that you would now be free from, the added skill and power that you would have in 2020, perhaps even biotechnology, and you're biologically younger, stronger, better looking. talking even are smarter, you know, in the year 2020. And, you know, it's a whole new you. So, what if you walked around in today's world in 2005 identifying yourself not based on the past, but based on the future? So based on the future, you know, I'm standing right here in the present, and I'm this great and powerful warrior looking up that mountain or looking down the easy path. You know, I choose the mountain. So what do you see in that? How does that relate to what you're saying, Jim?
Well, the avatar is to identity what vision force is to vision. Okay, the avatar is all about who you are being, and vision is about what you're creating. And you know, it's like a destination. When you have a vision, it gives you a destination that you navigate towards. So you can tell if you're going, am I going towards that vision or am I going away from that vision? Each moment of every choice that you make. So that makes you powerful and more conscious. But the avatar is like your homing beacon. That is the destination of the identity that you are getting a signal from. It's almost like having a destination and then this is the result. This is who I see myself becoming. And then reverse engineering that.
So, you know, again, to use another example, you know, Back to the Future is, you know, Michael J. Fox goes actually back to the past, and he's got this Polaroid photo of his family from the future that he brings into his past, and as he's in his past, and, you know, the little things he does, you know, little choices he makes, you know, whether he goes in one door out another, whether he runs into someone or he doesn't run into that person, like that's going to affect the whole future that's leading from that point. So you actually see in the movie, he's doing certain things or not doing certain things, and his family is either disappearing completely or they're coming back into focus, like they're either going out of existence or into existence. So I just related to what you're talking about with this avatar, which is really like a future avatar. You know, it's like it's this future point character. You know, if you want to have that person exist, every choice that you make today in life is either leading to that reality being true or to that reality being false. It's either leading closer to, like, that's who you're going to become or away from it. And I could see how it could be, like, a really dire, you know, consequence to, you know, like it's either true that that's who you are, is that person, or it's not. You know, and the things that you do to act in line with that's who you are, you know, if we're talking about bringing technology back here right now into 2005, creating technology that could have people really sense in the moment, like being true to themselves is greater than how they identify themselves to be now, but being true to themselves, you know, could be being true to that future avatar from 2020, who they're going to be. And the more that they can identify with that, then the easier it would be to make little choices in the present, like eat the chocolate cake, not eat the chocolate cake, or, you know, make that sales call, not make that sales call. You know, talk about, you know, those little choices in life, Jim, that, well, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a consequence if I, you know, have an affair, or it doesn't sound like that big of a consequence if I, you know, if I gamble away this money, or, you know, so in some sense, you know, and especially with, you know, how bombarded we are with, you know, TV and technology and instant gratification, a lot of times, you know, satisfying those desires or fears in the moment seems more important than our long-term values. So I could see how, you know, like how can we take like future avatar technology and bring that back to the present to add an extra level of gut level attachment to that future avatar, so that when it comes time to make those little choices, there's more emotion, there's more, it's more exciting to actually take an action that's in line with that future avatar than it would be to, say, compromise that.
Well, I mean, when you think about the great visionaries that have made such a difference, whether it's, you know, Gandhi or Mother Teresa or business heroes, Ayn Rand, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, I mean, all of these people made the sacrifices they needed to make because they knew that if they just kept taking those actions, you know, it was so real for them that it wasn't even a sacrifice. You know, it was, you know, sacrificing a lesser value for a better value, for a greater value. And what the avatar brings to vision technology is, the vision technology is what you will create in the world. And the more that you are sold out to your own vision for what you're creating in the world, the more attractive that is, then the more that you will naturally align your life and the choices that you make to make that vision more and more real. The avatar is really the resulting change to your identity that happens from you consciously going toward that vision that you're creating, and the effect that it has on you as a person, and the feedback loop of the power of your own intention and conscious evolution of who you are being and who you are creating yourself to be, that is the identity aspect of that equation.
Okay, Jim, that was very, very abstract.
Well, okay.
There's a lot of words there that you have your understanding for that people listening may not, and I think I lost it too, so.
You are the result of the road that you're walking every day. Your identity, you know, who you are, is the most accurate gauge of that is who you're being today, who you're choosing to be. Not who your mom and dad thought you should be, not who the authorities in your life thought you should be, not even who you've been, not even who you've been by default or by choice up until now. The avatar is self-creation. It is who you choose to be, and you magnify that choice into the future. You show the consequences.
So let me just restate that. So, you know, we have this way of seeing ourselves, or this way of identifying ourselves in life, like, this is who I am. I have these characteristics. I don't have those characteristics. And a lot of the way we identify ourselves is based on the past, or based on, you know, what other people think we should be, or based on our beliefs, based on lots of different factors. You know, that's our game piece through life. And a lot of times we're stuck with whatever game piece we were given. You know, we were born into a certain religion or a certain country, or, you know, as we were born a certain height, a certain size, and, you know, that's just kind of who we are, and that's what we're stuck with in life. And some of the conventional wisdom is just accept yourself for who you are, be yourself, and freely express yourself, and live your life, and, like, that's a path to happiness. And, you know, one thing we're saying here is that, you know, wait a second, we can say who we are. Like, we can recreate that. You know, in the Wealth Warrior Bootcamp technology and the technology inside the Vision Force Academy, actually has us doing that. Actually, you know, we work with technology that does that. That's some of the most powerful work that you can do if you're up to self-mastery and self-development, is actually transforming that game piece or who you are in life. It affects everything, you know. So, you know, what I get from what you're saying is that, you know, why not create that that future avatar, you know, as you want it to be? Why not create that and have it, you know, what if we could even have games or things in our life that were so real, so exciting, so engaging, that every choice we made, it was clear to us, like we even identified with that future avatar more than we identified with our old beliefs and our old habits and our old ways of being. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's taking the level. See, we give people who write stories, you know, authors and directors and actors, we give them permission to create characters, to do magic on the screen and in games, because they're artists. But what if we were the artist of our own life? What if we were the author of our own life? You know, the only limitation to what you can create in your own identity is your own imagination.
So what if we could go from spending so much of our time telling stories about other people, right, over coffee or around the water cooler as we're gossiping? What if we could take that time, and what if we could also add to it the time that we spend telling stories and having opinions about political figures and celebrities, and, you know, reading the magazines that are just full of the hype about who divorced who and who cheated on who and all this kind of stuff? What if we could take all of that plus all of the television time that is, again, just talking about the television time that's just devoted to that escape into, sitcoms where it's just escaping into someone else's reality away from our own, the story of our own life. You know, what if we could take all of that time and all the energy that we put into that, and what if we could recreate the story of our life to have it be so engaging, so exciting, that, you know, our choices in the moment become naturally heroic choices, become choices that actually make a difference in changing the world, creating positive change in our life and in the world, and change the future. And so how can we begin to do this? Let's take this conversation, Jim, to maybe look at some ways that this is already happening, that we and the other people are actually, you know, using this technology, you know, using principles from, you know, this whole gaming paradigm, and talk about some of the things that already do exist, and then maybe we can talk about some of the things that could exist or what's coming next. So I think one really powerful example, of course, is, you know, Robert Kiyosaki with his cash flow game. You know, but that doesn't necessarily, that's not like an ongoing game, you know, whereas some of these games online that you were mentioning, you have one character and you can live that character out for years, you know, and develop its history and develop its strength and power and develop a group of friends and, you know, really develop out that story. One piece of technology that comes to the forefront of my mind, just because I've been working on it, is the Vision Force Guidance System. And this is a tool that we've started creating online where, you know, people can recreate the story of their life, and in fact, of every area of their life, in a heroic sense. So for each area of your life, you can, you take whatever the story is now, and you recreate it in a heroic sense, using the technology that we use inside of the Vision Force Academy and the Wealth Warrior Academy. And then you begin to tell the story of you walking that new path in life. So you journal about your experience from that frame, from that way of looking at your life. You also engage, with the Vision Force Guidance System, you also engage other people into that story. You know, you invite people to be your coaches or your allies as you walk down this heroic path in whatever area of your life it is. So they're listening to you tell your story. They receive it by email. They reply. They give you suggestions. They actually become a part of that new heroic story in your life. So, you know, the Vision Force Guidance System itself is really exciting, but it itself is still really new and really still in, and, you know, it's not really high tech yet, you know, but I think part of what we're looking for here, Jim, is ways to actually, you know, like, measure our level of self-mastery, measure a level of vision, measure a level of, you know, these kind of immeasurable qualities that we have, measure our level of happiness and passion, you know, and then actually have things that we know that we can do to increase it. You know, because in a game, when you can measure something or you can keep score, it makes it really, really exciting. And in life, when it's a lot easier to keep score of, you know, say a football game, or maybe the amount of dollars that you're earning, or, you know, how many times your wife has yelled at you today, or, you know, the things that we pay attention to tend to be, you know, that's just where we focus our energy and our efforts. So the more that we can measure something, then we can actually shift our attention to taking action in these areas, which comes back to that whole idea of, in the moment, what is more, you know, what choice is more attractive, what choice is more exciting to make. And, you know, if we have ways to measure, for example, our level of vision or our level of power, and we know how making a certain choice is going to affect these intangibles, then it'll add extra emphasis to making a powerful choice.
Well, you know, Michael, you've done a great amount of work on building a community site that brings in the ability of alliances to build, of people to support each other, and to create a common context together. But you know, comparing, you know, like where we're going to where we are now, I've got two friends of mine that are both long-term role-playing gamers, and they will both tell you that even though World of Warcraft is fun and, you know, it's great where technology is going, that the most powerful gaming experience is still when you have four or five people sitting around a table, or even virtually, and telling that narrative story and measuring the results of their choices. That is the key, those are the key elements. And something very interesting has happened as well. They've done studies on you know, because every gamer will tell you that they've, you know, played for hours and hours and hours, and it's almost like you can just, you know, you get so locked into the game that it almost becomes, it develops a reality of its own. And they've done brain studies, and the synchronization of the left brain and the right brain, right brain's storytelling side of your brain, the image generating part of your brain, and the left side, the mathematical, the measuring side, the logical side, a game that creates both those elements and integrates them together builds a level of synchronicity and power that really reshapes the brain. And both of the guys that I've been learning from are both highly intelligent, and they credit their their mathematical abilities, their you know, to in large part, their history of game playing and the demands of that particular discipline, if you will. And what I see is the possibility of creating a game by creating the boundaries and rules and measurements, creating a game that not just creates a virtual world that doesn't exist, but that really empowers people to actually create the future. Imagine, you know, World of Warcraft is 3.5 million people right now that are playing this game. Imagine what would happen if we created a game as it is now that really truly empowers people to create a future, an alternative future. The power of visionaries working together, and it's a very exciting concept for me, and that's one of the reasons that I'm associated with the Vision Force Academy.
Well, you know, Jim, I did an interview last week with a gentleman who has an online newsletter, and he was interviewing me, and one of the things that caught his attention that he brought up very early on in the interview was, you know, what he saw that stood out is, you know, that basically what we're creating is a system whereby we relate to ourselves and everyone else in the world as a visionary. And we have, you know, as part of that system, we have, you know, there's communication skills that go along with that. There's ways of thinking that go along with that. There's ways of guiding your life that go along with that. And, you know, it's basically starting with a whole different premise about who we are as human beings, rather than starting out with the premise that we are, like, quote unquote, only human. You know, like, to be human is to be irrational and self-destructive and everything else. And so when we act irrational and we react and, or we fight in a relationship or we, handle conflicts in an irrational way, you know, that's normal. That's human to do so. You know, like that's because you're human. You know, you're not God. You're human. Well, what to be human meant was to be, to have those, much greater levels of powers, you know, like a God, to be a visionary, really to be someone who is taking full responsibility for creating the future, like what you say the future to be. And who you say people are, who you say you are, like you take full responsibility for that, you know. So what I see is how can we make it much, much more of a game to, so that in the moment, you know, after you come home from the boot camp and you've experienced that amazing breakthrough relationship technology at the boot camp. You've had major breakthroughs. You go home and do it in your life. And it's like, you know, for several months, it's so much a part of your consciousness that you just, you're doing it with everyone. You know, you're breaking through in relationships. You're causing real transformation in the way you see the world and your relationships and everything else. But then what can happen for people is they start playing the old game of life sometimes, get back into viewing the world the way that their coworkers did and get sucked back into the arguments of their spouse and to that story and to these stories that they have a long history with. Like, how can we create things that make it so engaging for people to keep playing this visionary game? So that in the moment of conflict with someone they're in relationship with, it's like it's game time. Like it's time to apply these visionary skills. You know, I can lead this person from point A to point B. I can influence, you know, these great leaders of the world. I can really make a difference. And, so I think a lot of that comes back to simply creating more convenient ways, Jim, to just keep score of this game, to be connected with the story of you being a visionary. You know, like for example, if the only time you can do it is to log into a website, you know, well then you're kind of, that's really limited in some way. You know, but what if you have close connections and relationships with, you know, people around you in your physical reality who relate to you as a visionary, who see your greatness, and you're all playing that same game of being the one in life. You know, just having people in your life like that adds a whole new degree of stimulation and interaction and reality to this game of being a visionary. And that's actually what a lot of the boot camp graduates leave with, is real life people in their life who know them in that way, relate to them that way, and they stay in communication. But, you know, it can be really, really tough if you're one person, no matter how much you've learned online or no matter how much you've read about being a visionary, for example, to actually go out and live it in the world when everyone else is playing a limited game. Everyone else is playing the old game, you know, playing a game based on, you know, life really isn't that important and you're only human, you know, and you kind of just got to live with what you're stuck with and you can't make a difference. And, you know, it really takes a lot of effort and a hero to be out there in the world playing a new game. You know, it's like being Gandhi in India, you know, with an impossible vision in everyone else's eyes. And he moves mountains in his lifetime, you know. So, you know, that's actually where we are right here and right now, Jim, is we need people to step forward, to step up and say, yeah, I'll be one of those first visionaries who causes real change in the world. I'm ready to come get my training. I'm ready to go be a Jedi. Out in the world where a lot of people don't have the kind of vision that calls them to greatness. You know, what if you could be that one to the people that you walk into in your life, the people that you communicate with, the people that you influence, you inspire their own greatness. You inspire them to grow and become and to live as visionaries.
Awesome. You know, that's I think really the true democracy, Michael, is not the result of the lowest common denominator and compromise. You know, most of what passes for reality is just consensus reality. It's what everybody thinks. It's what people say that everybody's supposed to believe, you know, and it has to do with compromise and the lowest common denominator. What is possible, you know, and a very degraded view of what human beings are or could be, and any new reality that's built, any new consensus reality, is based on people getting together just like they are on World of Warcraft is built on a consensus reality. It's built on people agreeing to that this is real. And we can, by the power of our intention and the power of our vision, create a new consensus reality where democracy and self-government is not based on the lowest common denominator. It's based on a different vision of what a human being is in potential and based on what we say we will do, and what we say is possible.
Jim, I put this challenge out there right now to anyone listening to this call. You know, we need people to come in with vision and reform our education system, reform our government, reform the way that we relate to each other, communicate with each other in marriages, and with our kids, with our neighbors, the way we resolve disputes in our legal system. You know, creating a world where everyone is a visionary is going to require millions of heroes and millions of visionaries to come in and step up and be the ones to cause real change in the world. You know, and change cardinal change in the world really is difficult if you live in that old world. If you live in that old world, you have to buy into and become a part of or gain power in that old system. You know, those old, you know, you have to find agreement and make monumental compromises or improvements to the current system, which, Jim, tend to be just make the system fatter and more complex and lethargic, you know, rather than causing real positive change. To cause real positive change, I see it's vital to come from a place where you have a new vision, and it's not just making additions to or compromises to the existing system. You have the skill and the power to mobilize people and resources to create a whole new system, whole new systems. So, you know, and a lot of people are really scared when it comes time to, you know, face a future where everyone is free. Everyone is a visionary. Everyone is creating because it looks like chaos. It can't be controlled. It can't be stopped. You know, that brings us back to the vision revolution. We're at a point where more and more people are operating from a place of vision. More and more people are starting their own organizations and businesses. And it's only a matter of time. And it will look like chaos to a lot of people. And a lot of people will try to control it and stop it. But really, what I see, Jim, there is to do is rather than fight the future and fight, you know, the change and try to just find safety and comfort, become a visionary. Be one of those great, heroic people who causes real change, even just in your family, your marriage, huge, with your one child, you know, huge. You know, so it doesn't need to be you become the president or you become Bill Gates. Like, causing real change in the world is something that doesn't happen very often. And, but you have the power to cause real change in your life. The people that you interact with, you can change that world. And, you know, Jim, that's what we work so hard with to provide the Vision Force Academy. And, I just want to thank everybody for, you know, who's taking the time to listen today. And thank you, Jim. And Jim, I'll give you some closing words, and then we'll wrap it up.
I just like to encourage the visionaries out there. If you feel called upon, if you feel that this message resonates with you, know that there are others out there that feel as you do. Know that that you don't have to be out there in the wilderness alone. That that we can create the future together, and that as you start to drop the stones in the pond, you know, throw those pebbles into the pond by the bold actions that you take in your life as you pursue your own vision. That those ripples, that ripple effect, will spread out into your personal world, into your family and your community in ways that you cannot imagine. And that's the exciting part about having the power to create your future, because it impacts all the people around you.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, you're really someone who in your own life, you know, has just really stepped forward to be the one to cause real change in life. And you made a huge difference in my life and the vision for the Academy. And, you know, I'm just looking to meet more and more and more people like you who are simply step forward and say, I'm the one to cause this change, to make a difference. And that's all it takes. So you who's listening to this call right now, you're the one. I look forward to meeting you inside the Academy or at a boot camp or simply in life. Let's create that future. Thank you, Jim, for your time today.
Michael.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.